Welcome to Ahead of the Curve, the Scoliosis Experience podcast, where my aim is to empower individuals with scoliosis and movement professionals alike by providing free, up-to-date information on scoliosis management and treatment. My goal is to improve the quality of life for those with scoliosis and equip movement professionals with the knowledge and skills needed to effectively support them. Hi, welcome back to Ahead of the Curve. I'm your host, Dr. Megan Teed. Today, I'm going to be talking about why a scoliosis-specific practitioner matters. And I have a lot of experience with this because I have experienced scoliosis within my own body. I'm also a licensed physical therapist, so I've gone through physical therapy school with the anticipation of that scoliosis lecture, and unfortunately, it was very, very disappointing. Like, if you think about if you go to hear a talk about something and they're talking about several different topics, but you specifically experience an ankle sprain or something, and in this talk, they're talking about different body parts, and then you are just anticipating the part where they get to that ankle sprain part because that's what you really want to learn more about because you experience it in your own body, and you want to be able to have the tools to help yourself or just understand yourself a little bit better. And unfortunately, that wasn't exactly the case for me when I was in physical therapy school. We got to that lecture and it was super underwhelming. We learned some of the anatomy of the curve. We didn't really learn how or why scoliosis develops. It was kind of just like, yeah, we're not really sure. And honestly, I just didn't feel like I learned a whole lot about myself. Yes, I was the subject of a lot of my classmates. I think I was one of the only people in my class that had scoliosis. I can't remember. I feel like there may have been another person, but I don't remember there being a whole lot of people that had scoliosis in my graduate school class, my PT school class. So I understood that I had rotation, like I did the Adams test, bending forward, reaching for my toes about 100 times, felt like, so that other people could see, you know, the rotation or my rib prominence. And that was really it. We, treatment-wise, we were taught if somebody is side bent to the left, you're going to side bend, try and side bend them the opposite way and try and open up what's tight and strengthen what is weak. But it was very wishy-washy as to like, what is tight, what is weak. So I kind of left that lecture feeling maybe even possibly more confused about my scoliosis than before I actually listened to the lecture. And then I compare that experience to when I was working with somebody who actually understood my scoliosis. And it was like all these light bulb moments going off in my mind, like, oh, wow, this makes sense. Like, makes sense why I feel this way and why if I do certain movements repetitively, my back doesn't like it. And when I do other movements, I feel a lot better. And just beginning to build out my own treatment plan for myself, understanding what exercises work well for me and why they work well for me. Big life-changing moments, light bulb moments in my life. So today I'm going to talk a little bit about what can happen as a person with scoliosis going to see a traditional physical therapist compared to going to see a specialist. So I'll start off by talking a bit about traditional PT and then delve a bit more into what your experience would be like working with somebody who is a specialist in scoliosis. So even just me talking with my fellow physical therapist friends, you know, just talking about scoliosis with them, they have brought up a lot like, hey, I just always feel a little bit gun shy once I have a patient that comes in through the door that has scoliosis. Like, I don't feel confident about how to work with them. I don't feel like I fully understand scoliosis and, you know, and really believe that I can truly help them. And I think that that carries over even into, you know, the Pilates world, the personal training world. All of these people really are not trained very well in how to work with people who have scoliosis. And I actually did like a quick little workshop a couple weeks ago over at Club Pilates. And it was more so for people who had scoliosis. I had a couple of Pilates instructors who showed up, and you know, they were like, wow, like this is pretty simple stuff that we can just implement with our clients right now. And it doesn't have to be super complicated and super overwhelming. That is, you know, my goal with my clients that I work with in my small group coaching program online, my in-person people that I work with. I don't want this to feel like such a mountain that you have to climb. It is something that can be very simple, and when it's broken down in terms that you understand and you can apply that to your own body, you can apply that to your clients' bodies as well. So any person that has a spine can actually benefit from understanding the principles of scoliosis specific movement and exercise and treatment. But kind of going back to the feeling that my fellow practitioners who don't specialize in scoliosis, who went to PT school, maybe they got a specialization in manual therapy or orthopedics. You know, even then a lot of them are like, I'm not really sure what to do. So that carries over in their interventions that they do with their clients. So if they're not able to really understand your curve for themselves, they're not going to be able to teach you about your own curve. So they're likely going to, you know, just treat you like somebody that has a symmetrical spine because that's what they understand. And a couple things happen with that. So one of the things that happens is they're continuing to kind of keep the power in their own hands as far as, you know, I am the professional, you are the patient or the client. And, you know, that to a degree, they're not going to be able to give you the tools and equip you with what you need to manage your curve on your own. So then you'll have to continue to possibly seek out other people to help you in the future. They definitely can help you manage your pain and get you out of pain, but the way that they're doing that might not be the best way to do it. So there are certain movements, like I've said in other podcast episodes, that aren't the greatest for people who have scoliosis. And a lot of times when we're treating something like lower back pain in the traditional physical therapy world, we use some interventions like repeated movement to alleviate the symptoms. So a couple of those repeated movements would be forward flexion. So reaching down and forward for your toes, either in a seated position or while lying on your back. And Another direction would be extending repetitively. So bending backwards, and you're either doing that in a standing position or while you're lying on your stomach and kind of pressing up and extending that way. And yes, that can help you to alleviate the symptoms, possibly. However, it could make you feel worse if you're somebody who has, an irritation at your transition zone. So that's the area where your curve is changing from, you know, let's say that you have a couple curves. Most people do. Let's say it's you have a curve in your right thoracic spine. You have another curve in your left lumbar spine. Your transition zone is that area in between. And most of the time, that is the area where we get a lot of our discomfort and our pain, because not only is it an area where you're moving from, you know, being side bent one way to the other way, but also it's usually like a very mobile area. So if you're doing a repeated flexion or a repeated extension in hopes of alleviating, you know, a nerve pain, or usually that is to help alleviate radicular nerve pain going down the leg or something, it can actually make something else feel quite a bit worse. So you're enhancing your rib prominence every time you are flexing forward. A very good example and illustration of that is the assessment that they do, the screen that they do in middle school gym class, where that called the Adams test, where you're standing and knees stay nice and straight and you flex forward and reach for your toes. So they're using that as a screening tool to see the rotation, to see your rib prominence. And that's because when you bend forward, that is when you get the greatest amount of trunk rotation that can happen in a scoliosis spine. So it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to keep doing that over and over and over again, because it keeps enhancing and enhancing and enhancing that rib rotation. And the same thing applies with the extension, just the opposite way. So like when you're laying on your stomach and you're pushing up, you know, kind of the same way. Now there are ways that you can adjust things and make it more comfortable and more appropriate for a person who has scoliosis. So for instance, using wedges and wedging when you're lying on your back and then doing knees to chest, that can be a really great option to help alleviate some of the symptoms. And then also the same idea when you're laying on your stomach, using the wedges to prop your front rib prominence as you're going into the extension, and just making sure you're not just purely extending from one segment. So getting very particular about the movements that you're doing. And unfortunately, somebody who isn't a trained specialist isn't going to have the eye or the understanding of how to adapt a lot of those things. And they may even be adapting them in a way that makes sense to them. However, they may just be reinforcing the curve. So another thing that happens is, and I was taught this actually in my Pilates training, that you are to prop and fill in the empty spaces. So when you lay, I'm going to use this as an example. When you lay on your back, placing the wedges underneath of your concavities. So those are the areas that are already raised away from the mat or away from the floor when you're lying on your back. And I was taught in my Pilates training that you need to fill in those spaces so that both sides of the back and both sides of the spine are making contact with something. And while that definitely, I can understand how that could make logical sense to do that, what you're doing, if you really take a moment and take a beat to think about it, is you're reinforcing the curve and you're just kind of keeping it where it is and not really adjusting it and helping to derotate. There is a time and a place to do that, but you have to have the understanding of when to be doing that. If you are kind of general rule of thumb, you want to be propping the other way. So you want to prop the areas that are dropped backwards towards the floor, towards the mat, whatever you're laying on. You want to slide something under there, like a wedge or a towel. And that will help to bring you into a neutral alignment so that you are moving in more of a balanced way. And then my final thing, just as far as traditional physical therapy goes, it's going to be hard for that individual, that practitioner, to help you get to the root issue of your pain. So a lot of times with scoliosis, we just kind of feel like we're chasing the pain all around our body because we're going to where we're feeling the pain, where the symptoms are occurring, and not able to look at the whole picture. Not to say that a traditional PT won't look at the imbalances that you have all throughout the body. That is a really great place to start. But there's just some fundamental things that are generally missing in traditional physical therapy that will really, really help you to get out of pain and stay out of that discomfort, or have the tools to help yourself stay out of pain. If you have a little bit of a flare up come up, you know, then you have these little things that you can return to that you know are tried and true and help you get out of that discomfort. So as a scoliosis specialist, they're going to look at you in your entirety. So they're not just going to look at the spine. While the spine is a very important element, it will give us a lot of information as far as where to begin and what your tendencies likely are. We look at you in your entirety. So what is your foot and ankle doing? Where are your hips in relation to your trunk? Are they translated to one side or the other? And then also from that side view, as far as is your trunk balanced over top of your hips if you look at the person from the side? And all of those things can be seem like really, really complicated if you're trying to connect the dots on your own. But a specialist in scoliosis, they have some training in some of the patterns that happen that can really help to simplify things so it doesn't feel so complicated when you're trying to manage this and figure it out together with that person. So for instance, if you have a person who has their primary curve on the right side of their spine, so that could be in the thoracic, that could be in the lumbar spine, but the largest curve, primary curve, largest curve, same thing. Convexity, if you're looking at the person from behind, that curve generally pulls the weight over the leg, the same leg as that curve is on. So you're weight bearing more on that side. And then to keep yourself balanced, the hips shift and glide to the opposite side. So you have a little bit of this counterbalance going on. So in order to begin bringing yourself back into more of a centered position, you use weight shifting to really help you with that. So you have the understanding, okay, my main curve is on my right leg, so I'm generally holding more weight over on that right leg. I'm going to shift my weight a little bit more over onto my left leg or my left hip if I'm sitting down. So those sorts of things are really simple adjustments that you can begin making that will make a big difference in your overall loading of your spine, loading of your discs, vertebrae, your joints, and help to kind of take some of the pressure and strain off of your muscles that are trying to pull you into center. So if you're over here, think about how like your neck muscles are a bit more strained to pull your head towards midline. So if you just do that weight shift, it takes the strain and the stress off of the neck muscles. Also, a specialist is going to be taking measurements like lung capacity, especially if you're in person with that person. They'll be also taking measurements of your ability to expand your rib cage and also measuring your rib to hip ratio. So that's an indicator of your future likelihood of getting a compression fracture. Sternocostal angle, so that rib angle in the front of the body, they take that as a baseline measurement. And all of these things are ways that we're able to gauge your progress in a very objective way. So if you're working with a traditional PT, they'll likely take some measurements of you. So it might look a bit different, like manual muscle testing, some special tests to see if they're able to reproduce your pain in certain positions. However, likely they're not going to be taking these very scoliosis-specific measurements that can help you see very objectively that you're making progress or not. And then finally, you're working with a specialist. They're going to be giving you tools and education that are just going to help you manage your life and be able to be more comfortable in your life. So they're going to teach you the best ways to be standing to cook your meals, prepare your meals in the kitchen, to position yourself when you're sleeping, to position yourself as you're brushing your teeth and washing your face at night. All of these little things that really, really matter. Yes, it's great doing your exercises for 10, 20 minutes a day, but if you do those exercises and then you go and you're moving in this crazy wackadoodle way the rest of the day, it's, you know, kind of ratio wise that doesn't balance each other out very well. So you want to have that information, that education about activities of daily living so that you can best maintain the progress and the improvements that you make in your physical therapy or in your coaching with your specialist. And they'll also, most importantly, teach you how to adapt exercises when you go to the gym or to a group fitness class so that you have the freedom to be able to go and do these things once you're all finished with your therapy. You're not going to go into the gym and be like, oh, I don't know if this is like right for me or if this is okay for me to be doing. You can go in there and you can pop open even like a Peloton app and do a strength routine and just be able to determine, you know, what exercises in there are okay for you to be doing and which ones aren't the greatest and don't feel the greatest in your body. A lot of times, you know, if your back doesn't like a particular movement or exercise, but we're taught not to trust ourselves, especially with scoliosis, that we know what is right for ourselves. So it can be such a little tug of war that happens when you go to the gym and then you're paralyzed and you're like, okay, just never mind, forget it. And then you just kind of toss the whole thing out the window. So that is those are my main goals with the clients that I work with, especially in my small group coaching program that I do online. I want to empower people. You know, I can be even great for a physical therapist or a Pilates instructor to go through the program to get that education, that understanding about how to work with their clients and adapt exercises for them, because it doesn't have to be so complicated. It really can be very simple and make a huge difference in your quality of life. If you're interested in hearing a little bit more about the Scoliosis Strength Collective, which is my small group coaching program, you can click the link in the show notes and schedule a discovery call or read about it a little bit more on my website. I also have free exercises that you can try out that give you a little bit of a taste of what it's like to work with me, and some of the exercise examples of what you'll be doing on your own through the program. So it's just kind of a good way to kind of get your feet wet and know what to expect. So I hope you understood. I do hope you understood. I hope you enjoyed this episode and gained a bit more understanding on the differences between traditional physical therapy for scoliosis or traditional movement for scoliosis, and why it's so important to work with a specialist. I highly recommend, if you have been considering working with a specialist, look and see if there is somebody that is specialized in the Schroth method that is local to you. And then if not, the small group coaching is a really good option for people. I do find that my online clients, they tend to do a little bit better than my in-person clients, because they take more action and responsibility for themselves. And they're not relying upon me to put my hands on them and move them and adjust them as much. So I hope that you have a great rest of your day. Thank you for tuning in. And until next time, I hope you stay well and stay ahead of the curve.